Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey, Freedom Family, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller, and I am the founder and host of this series. If you really feel crippled by shame and you desire freedom, I think you're going to find this conversation that I had with Vanderbilt soccer player Gabrielle Rademacher today very just empowering, and I think you're going to learn a lot from this. I had never met her before, and literally, like, from the moment that she walked into the room, through the entire conversation, I literally felt like I was talking to myself. We were pretty much the exact same person in every sense of the word, same personality type, same, like, she studied social work, I studied social work, very similar story, because I struggle with a lot of shame in my life and thinking that certain parts of me weren't okay and that I couldn't talk about them because they were too dark. And she had, like, a very, very similar experience to that. And so I'm just super excited for you guys to hear how she talked about just how, like, shame really silenced her for the longest time and how she's now finally owning her truth and really talking about that and how she has unlocked her freedom with that. So yeah, super excited for you guys to check it out. Here we go. Who would you say Gabrielle Rademacher was in, like, your, in the beginning of your journey with shame?
I would say I was pretty paralyzed girl.
I like that word.
And I was so consumed with if I was gonna mess up or how people, like, perceived who I was. Mm-hmm. So in school, people say masks, and that's very relatable.
Yeah.
So I just put layers and layers of masks on. Mm-hmm. And
from a young age?
Yeah.
Really?
Because, like, I was the superstar athlete. Yeah. And I thought I had to be a certain way for people to like me or be popular. Mm. And,
yep.
And it's very tiring.
It is.
So I just felt like I was lost before. And I was so ashamed of my shame.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, like, hid all of that. I had so many secrets. And
yeah.
Yeah, I just felt very inauthentic and kind of like a fraud. I wasn't who I thought I was supposed to be.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, and you said paralyzed is, like, such a good word, because when I was telling you this, but when I shared my story, it's like the one word that came to mind for me. Well, I guess it's a phrase. It's ran away. Mm-hmm. Like, I ran away from everything of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I masked it, but I also was like, I know this thing about me and I don't like it. And so I'm going to mask it. And I'm also going to run away from it by, like, being someone I'm not.
And if it's not there and you don't, like, then it's like, it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you feel, like, awkward around people a lot?
Oh yeah. I got that a lot. So people, that was one thing I was like,
mm-hmm.
I hated when people called me that and they're like, you're awkward. And now I embrace it and I love it because it's who I am.
It's who you are.
And now some people
piece
are like,
of who you are. Yes.
Yes. And yeah, so they're like, you're so awkward and, you know, weird. And
no, you're not, dude.
Thank you. No, but I was like, okay, like, how do you respond to that? So then I was like, okay, well, I have to be, like, this cool person and
mm-hmm.
wear this and do this and
yeah.
for people to like me, because I'm like, we all have to be the same. That's what I felt like. So
yeah. So even from a young age, like, you remember this, like, how young would you say that you can look back and be like, okay, I kind of see that from teenager.
Oh gosh, fifth grade.
So, okay.
So got bullied a lot for, like, soccer.
Yeah.
And I had this girl come up to me, and it was my first time in public school, and she mm-hmm. was like, you need to lose the race for, like, a fifth grade thing. And I was like,
you need to lose the race,
because she's won every year, and it was my first time
coming in.
And so I was like, oh, I have to be friends with them. So
you did?
I ended up crying to my mom. I was like, you're acting different. I'm like, I don't want to go to school today. And the other girl ended up pretending she was sick. And I was like, just do what you can. Like, and so.
So you won it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, fifth grade, you know, turkey trot. It was great. Yes. But ever since then, I started, like, diminishing who I was to fit in with other people.
Okay.
And to make sure everyone liked me. So I just kind of, like, would play myself down or hide certain things about me or kind of, like, not talk. Because if I did, people would be like, oh, you're so awkward and say weird things. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because I was just so taken aback that, like, how people were in fifth grade at such a young age. And ever since then, it was the same.
Mm-hmm. So. Especially around that age, too, people are mean.
Yes!
Like, I feel like it starts in fifth grade, and then it, like, obviously lasts through teenage years. Mm-hmm. But even, like, high school and college, it totally can, too.
Yeah.
How old are you?
21.
Okay, 22. I'm 25, and I will say it gets better.
It's a blessing, thank you.
I don't know if people get nicer, but I think you get surrounded by better people as mm-hmm. you age, which it sounds like you probably already
Definitely,
have.
Definitely, yeah. And people that accept you and love you for who you are, and then and if they don't, then you're old enough to be like, I don't want to be a part of your life.
Exactly. So what would you say maybe like some voices in your head were like growing up? Because you said already awkward, mm-hmm. but what else do you feel like people were saying that you really held on to?
My biggest one was not good enough. Because I did come from a family and I had like three older brothers, and then we're a very like blended family. So stepbrothers and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and half brothers. But they were geniuses. And so even my parents were like, oh, like you're just good at athletics. Like you're not as smart as your brothers. Yep. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not good enough at school. Yep. Or I'm growing up trying to get a scholarship for soccer. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of rejection and coaches telling you the honest truth. And so that was a big thing. Like my voices in my head was, I'm not good enough for the school, or I'm not good enough to play soccer, I'm not good enough to take these classes or mm-hmm. be friends with these people. And so I hated going to parties. I never went. I told you I ended up missing over 52% of high school. So that was me hiding, because I was paralyzed mm-hmm. by the fear, rejection, not being good enough. And those were all the things that were going on in my head. Mm-hmm. So instead of having to face them, I just like hid and I stayed home. And like,
so that was kind of like a panic attack, probably, like a very extreme one.
My first start panic attacks didn't happen until senior year and like freshman year of college, but it was more just like I was so like drained mm-hmm. from like all the voices and all like my own insecurities. And I'm like, why do I have to go through them? People don't want to see, like, if I don't have to see them, kind of thing. Which wasn't the great way to think about it, but I mean,
that's what happens.
Yeah, and you're in tunnel vision, like you mm-hmm. don't see it until you're out of it.
Yes, absolutely. And so what would you say when you were maybe in high school, like talk about how you probably were starting to make the decision to like go to college to play soccer and stuff. Like, how did that play into maybe the voices in your head? Because you were known like as an athlete, a very good athlete, but not the best student. And you were just telling me how you wanted to go to Vanderbilt mm-hmm. to kind of prove people that you could actually be smart.
So, that was like, I was captain of the soccer team in high school, only known as an athlete. Because I miss school a lot, people are like, how are you doing well in school?
How'd you stay on the soccer team? That's a real question.
Yeah, I don't know how I really got through everything. I mean, we got a few letters that I like was like family services. My mom never saw those. But like I did really well in school, because I was like, my whole thing with school is like, if you work hard, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
And so I ended up getting straight A's and even like my AP classes, even though I didn't go.
Yeah.
And so I was able to like slip through, especially in public schools. So it's pretty easy.
It is, yeah.
And my school wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But and for soccer, like if you are an impact player, I guess, like mm-hmm. they kind of let you slide more. So I was like able to do that. And like my passion was soccer. So all I really cared about was soccer. So even if I missed school, I would go to soccer practice, and for both high school and club.
Yeah.
But so like you said, to prove people wrong, I was like, well, I'm going to go to a good academic school, mm-hmm. play soccer, excel, and when soccer's over, I'll have something that does put me on top, because this is gonna like pave a pathway for me to be successful in the workforce, because mm-hmm. soccer doesn't last forever.
Right.
And so I was trying to be realistic with it and trying to find someone, because I was so focused on soccer, that was my whole identity. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I want to be something more than that, and like show people I wasn't just a soccer player,
because
that was a big, I guess, like not demon of mine, but it just made me so angry that everyone just saw me as a soccer player. I was like, I'm a human being, like I'm not just that.
It's crazy how we don't see the dimensions, like all of the facets, all of the dimensions of each other. Like we literally just pigeonhole ourselves, and people pigeonhole each other into one or two categories almost, it seems like. Like you're either smart, you're dumb, you're good athlete, good student. And, like, that's it.
Why can't we just be everything? I guess just who we are. Yeah.
Why can't we just be humans? We have multi-dimensions. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. No. So, okay. And then you went to college.
Yes.
And did you have a hard time at first at Vanderbilt? Or not really?
So, funny thing. So, people are, like, some people were a little, like, upset that I got into Vanderbilt because of being an athlete.
Interesting.
And they're like, I would say some things are like, oh, like, Vanderbilt academics, like, you're going to Vanderbilt. Yeah. And stuff like that. And I was like, actually, yeah, I am.
Yeah,
like,
thanks exactly.
for that. And I'm so, but it did, it. Like, make me feel insecure and, yeah. like, but getting here, it was kind of the same as high school.
Okay.
So there is a divide between the students and the student athletes.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. They think that you're an athlete, so they don't think you're smart
right.
or they don't think you're going to do
Absolutely.
Well. And so that was a big change. Mm-hmm. But soon they started realizing that we are just going to put in the same amount of effort and help out, and yeah. it gets better. But I ended up tearing my ACL a day before our first game my freshman year. Yeah, and so that was a big change. Because
a day before?
Oh, my gosh. I know. And I was having, like, a great preseason,
yeah.
and I was feeling good. I was so happy to be out of Florida and, like,
yep.
away from that whole thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, I'm going to start going to
New
school.
Chapter.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be, like, who I want to be.
Yeah.
And then my whole identity of that soccer
God
player just
stripped
got...
your identity right
oh,
from you.
Oh, yes. And he was like, Gabby, yeah. this is your time to actually look towards me and,
yes.
like, find your faith.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I didn't grow up religious, and I didn't okay. find my faith until freshman year of college.
Okay.
After I tore my ACL.
Okay.
It's funny how he does that.
I know, right?
But, yeah, so.
So, okay, talk about that then. Like, so, obviously, you tore your ACL,
mm-hmm.
probably had surgery, and you mm-hmm. had to be... For the most part, probably fairly, like, bedridden.
Pretty painful.
Yeah.
Just a lot of rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I was only on crutches for about 2 weeks, I think. Wasn't, like, horrible.
Okay.
But couldn't play.
Yeah.
For my, this injury took me about 15 months to get back.
And Dang,
yeah, so
okay.
it was a pretty long recovery.
Did you feel pretty isolated, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my whole thing was just, like, putting on a great face, smiling,
yeah.
telling everyone everything's going to be okay. And
mm-hmm.
I wasn't, like, hurting or sad or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was, like, that positive person.
Yes.
But I didn't realize until two upperclassmen were, like, come with us to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize, like, how empty I was until I got there. Cause, like,
did you dislike God before that, or did you just
yeah.
not really have an opinion?
I, like, believed in him. I knew there was, like, a higher power, and
okay.
I would, like, speak to him sometimes
yeah.
and, like, hey, like, help me with this
yeah.
task kind of thing.
So you kind of always
yeah.
explored your own faith then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like,
okay.
and I didn't realize, like, the true relationship that you could have with God
yeah.
and how, like, amazing and loving he is.
Yep.
And so when they brought me there, I was like, you're a shell of a person. Like, I'm just a happy face, and that was it.
Hmm.
And I wasn't really accepting what I was going through or allowing myself to really feel all the different emotions that human beings are supposed to have.
Yeah.
And until I started growing in my faith.
Dang. Okay. And so when he sort of stripped your identity from you,
mm-hmm.
like, how like, exposing was that, honestly?
So I was telling you, like, you feel naked.
You do.
Like, it's...
That's exactly how I would describe it. You literally feel naked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I describe
yeah.
my own story, was you feel naked.
It's the most vulnerable. And I used to think vulnerability and all of that was a weakness until I realized that, like, it is God's strength.
Yes.
Like, he finds your weakness as strength. And
mm-hmm.
I think vulnerability is one of the most powerful and one of the most strengthening things that someone could have. And it influences
and it connects
other people.
You.
Yes.
yes. It connects you with,
like,
other people
yes.
so much.
And you're able to figure out truly who you are as a person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool. So, like, you had to learn how to be vulnerable with yourself
mm-hmm.
in that time.
Yes.
You had to learn how to be, like, share that with other people
yes.
too, would you say?
It took a little bit for that.
Okay.
Because
I think it sounds like the next step, I think, of your journey
yes.
is, like, starting to understand depression and anxiety,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. So I remember you, like, asking, like, with one of the questions, it was, like, when did you first start realizing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that wasn't until senior year when I, like, couldn't
okay.
get out of bed, didn't want to go to school.
Okay.
But I thought I could just, like, fight it off.
Yeah.
And I was, like, it was, like, me being who I am now, I realized it was my pride and ego, and I didn't want people to know about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I'm the strong person.
You could do it yourself.
Yeah. I was
yeah.
like, I don't need help from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, why did God put so many people on this earth to do it alone?
I know,
like,
right?
you need help from other people.
Yes.
And that's not a weakness. Like, knowing that you
no.
need help is such a strength.
It is a strength.
And so
it's
I didn't,
a huge
yeah.
strength.
And so, like, just going through senior year, I was like, yeah, I don't need that. What's medicine? I don't need medicine.
Yeah.
It started getting really bad to the point where I was like, hurting myself and just not doing great things. And it was just self-destructive. But it wasn't until my sophomore year of college. We go on these FCA retreats. And it's in February. And it's just basically a time to like praise God and worship and meet other people. And a lot of them don't, some don't believe, some don't even know why they're there. Other people are very strong in their faith. And it's just like a mosh podge of college kids and a lot of college athletes.
Wait, what is FCA? I've totally heard that.
Fellowship
times.
Of Christian Athletes.
That's right. Okay.
And so I ended up going there my sophomore year again. And they're all talking about shame and like, what's your huge sin that you hide?
Interesting.
And it was the most powerful thing. And we would write our sin or our like shame in the sand, and then you would like wash it away.
Interesting.
Yes, because that's what God does to
you.
And so they're just talking about how like if you keep your shame inside of you and you have that silence, they're like chains. And it's not until that you voice it and show God and voice like just get it out of you that you break those chains and you start healing. And so that was not a crier. You can ask any of my friends. I don't cry. And that was the first time I just broke down. I was like the most vulnerable. And I just felt so naked and just. It's like, but then afterwards, like you feel so like clothed with like strength and dignity.
You do.
It's like one of my favorite Bible verses. And so like, even though I did feel naked, the first time, like you feel like sick to your stomach. We're talking about like telling your like story and like.
It's like that vulnerability hanging over thing that people talk about.
And then afterwards you're like, why did I just tell someone that? Like, what are they going to think of me? And I'm like, I told Courtney, who's like our woman and minister and like she does a Bible study and is the big reason why I have grown through healing and now I'm unlocking my freedom. And so that's just a big part of my life. And
so you told her about like depression and anxiety.
So she was my first person I ever told. Well, besides, so I never really had relationships. Like I had like acquaintances or like friends, but like they didn't really know anything. Like no one ever met my family, knew what the inside of my house looked like.
Dude, I'm kind of the same. Like they met my family, but like, for some reason, and my friend actually, not yelled at me for this, but just kind of was like, Kira, you need to invite people into your house. Like, that's a very intimate thing. You need to, like, let people in. And I'm just like, but I just, it's my introverted space, which I think you understand.
And I was just so ashamed. I didn't realize and, like, embarrassed. And but it wasn't until my relationship with God that I met my best friend, Megan. And through the injuries and everything, it just shows you, like, he puts you through all these things to really, like, open you up and just show you that you are loved and just like have so many other blessings. And so she, I end up having my first real huge panic attack and she was there and ended up like breaking down and I was like, okay, I actually need to tell someone. So I ended up telling her about my anxiety and depression and self-harm and which was really hard because like you do feel so vulnerable and naked. And I was like, are you going to look at me differently? Are you still going to be my best friend? Like, are you going to pity me? I don't want pity. And like all that stuff. And so she was like, we need to go talk to Courtney. So the Panera Bread on West End sat in a booth and I just poured out to Courtney. And it was the start of me unlocking my freedom.
Was it really hard like in the conversation though?
Yes. I would stop and I would sit there and like I like fiddle and like would like just do weird things and then it was just it was like so hard, like you couldn't get it out. And so
Dude, it's funny though because I like I've always been okay with crying and I've always been I've been telling my story with people for 4 or 5 years probably, but like it was actually the day that I was supposed to tell my story on my podcast that like I ended up fully breaking down like I had never had before. So I was supposed to have it on like a day in December, I think. And I ended up getting really sick. So I didn't get to tell it on that day. Well, I ended up telling it like in January. So it's all good now. It's out. But like I ended up hanging out with my friend right before I was supposed to have my podcast that day, essentially. But at that point, I think I had already canceled it because I was sick. And I was just recapping like all of my wounds from what I did and stuff and just straight up like broke down uncontrollably uncontrollably crying at a coffee shop. Which is
in
amazing.
Public.
But it's crazy because the people next to us were crying about something else. And my friend was like, you know you're in Franklin when everyone's just like crying at a coffee
shop. I love Nashville. I love it.
In Nashville too. And so But one of the most powerful things she said to me was, Kira, that is the most real I have ever seen you. Like, that is the most Kira I've ever seen, because you are so, like, broken open. You're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You're letting people in right now. Like, you're uncontrolled.
Yeah.
And you're just letting yourself be uncontrolled. And
that's beautiful.
And it's like, you don't have to hold it together. You mm-hmm. can just be, and that's it. And, like, that just reminds me of what happened with me. It sounds like you were probably uncontrolled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no keeping it in, because you're, like, so uncontrolled that it's like, nope, it's all coming out, if you like it or not. Yeah. And it needs to happen.
Yeah. And it's almost, it's kind of like, it's not, I didn't black out, but I felt like.
Okay, yes. It's like.
I kind of felt like I was in another world for a second. And, like, again, I had told my story plenty of times before mm-hmm. this. That's why I thought it was weird. But because I was just, like, clearly uncontrolled. Mm-hmm. I was just, like, going and going. Like, I don't think I was making sense half the time. But
I love that.
I know, right? And it was the most, like, real that a person had ever seen in me, which it sounds like that was probably the first time for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so strong. So, like, around this time, you were really starting to pursue Christ in your life.
Yeah.
And also, was that around the time when you went on medication for the first time?
Yes. Okay. So, like, my big saving grace was Christ.
Okay.
Then I owe everything to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this whole stigma around medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I always, like, push it off. And
But
when I saw and I read about how Christ finds your strengths and your weaknesses, mm-hmm. I started kind of accepting what I was going through.
Yeah.
And it was too much for me to do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Like, I just want to be happy. I just want to, like, live my life and be who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if medicine can help me, like, why not help myself?
Yes.
Like, I mean, you're the number one priority
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, not other people. And so if I can find something that can help me, then that's what I'll do. And so not only was it my faith that helped me, it was also, like, the medicine.
Okay.
And so I ended up going medicine my sophomore year. My coach actually was like, because I almost quit soccer and everything. Even,
dang.
Like, the love of my life, like, it was one of my habits. Like, I love soccer so much.
So when it was stripped from you, you were probably, like, angry about it.
Oh, so
and, like,
angry.
Bitter.
Very. Yeah. Yes. And I was like, why is this happening to me? And all this. And I was like, well, it's happening. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me. You know that?
Yes. Yep.
And so, like,
love
I don't
that.
Have to play. I get to play.
Yeah.
And so, sophomore year, I went into his office, and I was being vulnerable with Courtney and Megan, like, kind of led the whole series of 6 years or like no, it's only been since then, like, 2 years.
Okay.
And so, like, that path into, like, opening up more and went to my coach's office, and I was like, okay, I'm struggling. And he was like, you need to talk to our sports psychologist. And I was like, no. And then he's like, if you really want to, like, help yourself, like, you need to. And I was like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to be ashamed of getting help? Mm-hmm. Like I said,
so you,
like,
went to therapy.
Yeah.
Love
so
therapy.
Ended up and I went to a spiritual therapist. I think that's what, like, she was more like.
I wonder if we went to the same therapist.
What's her name?
Deborah?
No, her name was Meg.
Dang it. Because she is a Vanderbilt person.
Oh,
so I was
okay.
I wonder if it's the same.
Yes. And then I went to Vicky Harris for sports.
Yeah.
And because a lot of my anxiety came from sports. And
okay.
We ended up discussing medicine, and I went on medicine, and it's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up changing my life.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much, like, negative.
Yeah.
Connotations around it and stigma, mm-hmm. but, like, mental health is, like, a real thing.
It is.
And you can be the strongest person in the world, but doing it alone is still super hard.
Yes,
and this
absolutely.
Is, like, it stabilizes you. And there's, and, like, I'm all about, like, meditation and strategies and support groups and all that stuff, and, like,
so you,
to help
kind
you.
It's kind of the whole thing.
Yes. And, like, I don't think medicine is just, like, we're going off on a tangent.
I'm fine with that.
But, like, I don't think it's just, like, the end all be all.
Yes.
So one day I really hope to go off of it. There's, like, other strategies that I think help me so much, and having other people to be around where I can actually, like, talk about it and help them now through it.
Yes.
And so that's a big thing. And now I'm not ashamed of being on medication.
Yeah.
And now, like, I used to hide it at first.
Okay.
So no one knew I was on it for about a year and a half.
Did you ever have to take it around people?
Oh, like, I always hit it.
Okay.
Oh, it was so easy.
Dang.
Because, like, I was taking, like, other, like, pills because of my knee.
Okay.
So it was, like, easy to just be like,
oh that's
and like,
nice.
What are you doing? I was like, my ibuprofen. Like, that's what it is.
That's easy to hide. Dang.
Yes. And but the only reason, my coach is the only one that knew, and my trainer, Melby, who's a big help in all this.
Okay.
Too. But
dang. Okay. And so you started seeing a therapist too at the same time. And, like, what do you feel like that did for you? Because for me, it was almost like the first time that it really allowed me to fully self-reflect. Mm-hmm. Like, I always knew what was going on with me at all times, but, like, it really allowed me to dive deep into, like, trauma and, like, going back into my childhood and looking at things and, like, how people affected me, all that kind of stuff. Is that what it did for you?
Yeah. So even with when I was kind of, like, really, like, telling everyone, like, not everyone, but Megan and Courtney what happened, I still didn't tell them everything.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's always some things that you're, like,
it's too dark.
Yeah. And it's also very personal.
Yes.
And so I was like, but it still needs to come out to someone. Yeah. And I think with professionals, like psychologists, and it's such a private, like, they cannot tell anyone unless you're going to harm or hurt or so,
Yep.
And so, which is, thank God that
Did you study social work?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I did too.
No way.
I literally am looking at myself. This is wild, because I was like, as soon as you started saying the reason why you can, the only reason why you can say it out loud, I was like, she must have studied social work.
A little bit. Just because, like, I was affected by it. So I'm like, why not study? I didn't need to study it, but I was like, I want to know more.
And
like, it's like, I want to know why. Why was
that your major or no?
No, my minor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still apart. Dang.
So I was like, you know, but, and so I ended up being able to, like, tell them everything and really get that out and, like, to realize, like, I'm not crazy and what happened in my past wasn't okay and wasn't my fault, and hearing that from someone else and, like, someone being there for you and, like, you're not alone in it and, like, you haven't been hiding it, it's, like, the most terrifying and, like, powerful healing thing that could ever happen.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm so happy I ended up going.
Yeah.
And now I really don't go any, like, much anymore.
Like, you don't feel a need right now. Yeah, I feel that.
But I do have my ups and downs. And so I...
You could go back
Exactly. Anytime. Yeah. And now I'm more comfortable going. Too. And, like, I know I have that support behind me. So I'm like, if I ever, anything ever goes wrong or I dip back down, I have, like, new strategies and new people I can go to.
Yes.
So I'll never go back to how I used to be.
Yeah. So what do you feel like is probably... the maybe, like, three keys, or it doesn't have to be, like, a number of keys, but, like, the couple different things that you really feel like have helped you to fully own your truth and, like I say, unlock your freedom, because it sounds like owning it has been a huge thing for you. Definitely. But what else does that look like?
So a big thing is I really, like, my passion now is just helping people. And so I always told myself that, like, Satan loves silence, and if I can at least help one person with what I say or being vulnerable or showing them that I did it and it's okay to feel this way and to get help, then it was all worth it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm, like, instead of, like, keeping it inside and, like, being ashamed, I'm like, well, if I get it out, I can help someone else that they don't have to go through what I went through or don't have to go through something terrible and traumatic.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm, like, unlocking my freedom and speaking about it more and not being as closed off about it. So I'm like, there's everyone struggling with someone or with something.
Yeah.
And if I'm not alone, so if I can say something, then no one has to, that person doesn't have to hide it until they're 20. And
it's like an invitation for them to just share it as well.
And I've, like, now, like, one of my friends just went on medication and they are struggling, and now they are just got a job and everything's so much better. And I have another, like, another one of my friends that's finally seeing the sports psychologist because she grew up in, like, this perfectionism, like, household, and everything had to be perfect. And now she's not playing too much and things get hard. And, and now they know that, like, they don't have to be this way and that they can get help from other people, and they're not considered weak. They're actually considered strong. Yes. And so, like, seeing that happens, it's, like, it's all worth it. And it makes me happy because I'm like, okay, like, even though it's kind of, like, gets sick to my stomach speaking about it. Yeah. Like, seeing someone else benefit and, like, seeing them, like, actually be happy makes me happy.
Yeah. So, so you feel like you and maybe your story are, like, sort of a, like, a hope for other people then?
I love the word hope. That's one of my favorite quotes.
I love it.
And for me, it stands for Hold On, Pain Ends. So H-O-P-E.
Whoa. Where'd you learn that? Or did you come up with it?
I saw it, like, a couple years ago. I forgot where I saw it on. And it's always been – so I have it tattooed on the back of my neck.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, and so
just the word hope, or, like, says Hold On, Pain Ends?
So I ended up actually living with Indigenous tribes in New Zealand a couple years ago. And
oh my gosh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And they're Maori and they're called the Waitā, and I got it in their language. This is Manawa Ora.
So cool. Okay.
So, yeah.
And it was what a life.
Yeah. It's been a pretty amazing blessed one. For
Dang.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Okay. Talk about that a little. Like.
So that was the sophomore year summer when everything was going down.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Was that sort of like a retreat for you almost?
Oh my gosh. It was life changing. So that's when like my coach was like, take the month of May.
Okay.
Figure everything out. And it was very spiritual. And the chief, the papa, was very religious and spiritual. Okay. And his whole thing was like, do no harm, hurt like no one. And
interesting.
You're made the way that you're made. And they had so many cool traditions. And they had no cell phones. Like, I was
so cool.
Blocked off from the world. Yeah. And I was just trying to figure out who I was as a person and really accept who I was. Mm-hmm. And I came back a totally different person. Even my coach was like, what happened to you? And I was like, well, first of all, my God happened to me. Mm-hmm. And he was able through this trip to show me that who I am is fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Psalm 139:14, which is my favorite Bible verse.
Yes.
And so ever since then, I just held on to that and I held on to hope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we all go through pain in our life. And everyone's is different. We handle it all differently because we're all different people. But at the end of the day, we do have a choice if like we want to suffer or not. Because like you have that own choice to be like, well, I'm going to let this affect me a certain way. And so
I define my entire life.
Yes. And like have that control over you. And I'm like, pain's already having some sort of control. So I'm not going to let it have like my whole life.
Yes.
And so I was like, it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm kind of afraid of like public speaking and all that stuff, but I'm like, it's gonna end in a couple minutes, or like, you know, or like the beep test in soccer, it's gonna end in like 15 minutes and 30 seconds and like or something like that. Like it does end. It might be a year or two years or whatever, because we deal with so many different things,
but
it does end. So I'm like, I gotta just think about the end result too.
So when you feel like maybe like thoughts of, well, even like self-harming and stuff, when anything like that, when that comes back into your mind, how do you, like, overcome that and, like, overpower it?
So it's still really hard, and it still happens. Like, just because we're saved or you turn a stone and you do – you're feeling so much better and you have these new strategies and medicine and all that stuff. Like, it's not the end-all be-all.
Yeah.
Like, you have hills and valleys.
You do.
Torn wells, And so I do have a lot of valleys. Like, it's – we're not perfect, and so – even like a couple weeks ago, I was in a really dark place again. And I just started like rehearsing in my mind again, like, I don't want to go back to that person that I was. And I don't want to hurt myself ever again, because like you are like God made you. You are a temple. Like your body's a temple. And hurting me would be hurting him.
Yes.
And so I do think about that.
Yeah.
And I think about all the progress I've made. And to do that again, I like I'm just like keep building it up in my mind. I was like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. And like, it's not always like the easiest. Sometimes like it does progress. And then I'm like, okay, but you're also like you're loved. And you're not alone. And now.
So you know the truth.
Yes.
But
it still
hard.
Gets hard. Yeah. And like you can rehearse that self to your like self so many times. And like I'll put on worship music because it gets me in a good mood. I used to put on like sad, depressing music.
Dude, same.
Love depressing music.
Yes.
It's amazing. But then I'm like.
Helps you to express your emotions.
Yes.
So I'll say that's
and like
a good part
you need them
it.
Sometimes. And then other times it's like if you put yourself in an environment to just like make you feel better. So then I'll put on like my favorite Tori Kelly songs.
Yes.
And like,
oh, so
stuff
good.
Like that. And so I make myself feel better and that stuff. Or if it keeps getting worse, then I go talk to someone to before I get back to the point of harming myself again, because I have gone back before and it's been a really long time, thank God. But I just never want to go back there, and I know it's I say I never want to go back there, but I know it might happen. But at least I have new steps and like people and a support group and all that stuff, so not as terrified.
And I think one of the like biggest things just for people to know is, like, just because you've unlocked your freedom does not mean that it all ends right there. Like, I think the enemy is going to continue to tempt us throughout our entire lives. Like, for my situation, I'm not really sure I'm ever going to go back to what I did specifically, like, my big addiction. Yeah. But I do think, like, I have problems with, like, binge eating and stuff. So, like, that could potentially always be a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And, like, I think Christine Kane is one of my like absolute favorite authors and speakers. You know who she is probably. I was like, if you go to the blog, you probably know who she is. But she, like her book Unashamed, just really showed me that your journey with whatever you're going through does not have to be Like, it's not this overnight thing, which I know is, like, kind of cliche, but it's, like, it's a journey.
Yes.
It's, like, every single day, week, month, year, like, you're going to have to try and, like, really build yourself back up again and find that inner strength, like, the Holy Spirit, all that kind of stuff. Find the truths to, like, really, what's the word, like, overpower, I guess, the enemy's voices. Mm-hmm. It's not just... You're not just done with it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite quote is by Nelson Mandela, and it's like, the greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in rising every time you fall. Mm. So I'm like, okay, you're going to take setbacks. You're going to fall.
And it builds your strength.
Exactly. Yes. And like, why? Like, I don't want to go through life just being this like complacent person or like, because I was so afraid of failure, I would literally not go to things, but then I would never succeed because I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm paralyzing myself again from growing and strengthening myself because I wasn't doing it. But I'm like, if you fall, you just get back up. And then you like surpass that person that you already were and you just keep getting better and better and happier and happier.
Yeah.
And now you're not afraid to fall.
Cause you're not afraid.
Cause you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like it's inevitable. And if people know that, then it's like you have good and bad days and they're not like, why am I bad again? Like, why am I feeling like this again? But it's like, there are better days ahead again
because
you know there are good days.
Yes.
And so, and now you know how to handle the bad days way better than you did before. Mm-hmm. And so you do keep growing. So I like
that. And I would imagine it probably gets easier with age just because like,
I hope so.
To me, I feel like the thing is, I mean, there's going to be new obstacles all the time, but like at least like, okay, well you, did you go to the Belonging when Paul spoke recently? Like the last time he spoke?
And yes.
It was like I'm created to think versus conditioned to think.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing for me in all that was like, we've been conditioned for so long, not just like our families, but like generations upon generations upon generations. Yeah. We've been conditioned to think certain things about ourselves, certain things about God, certain things about the world, all that kind of stuff. And those conditions are going to take a really long time to just break down. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just going to be an overnight thing. So like, but I do think it gets easier with age, when you keep telling yourself the truth, and it's like actually speaking what we are created to think, because we're gonna stop or we're gonna start breaking down those conditions, and they're gonna like become a quieter voice in our mind.
I love that,
dude. Right?
That's so
when
cool.
He said that, I was like, oh heck.
Oh my gosh!
And
it's so true.
Well, and I don't know, like I don't know if this speaks into your life at all right now or anything, but it's spoken into my life right now, and like several of my friends, just like. From that same sermon that he gave was just the simple verse that I've never really meditated over until now is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the reason why it's so powerful for me is like, I think I'm starting to think a lot about like my past again and stuff. And there is that looming shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
It seems it's perceived as like this really dark place that the enemy is like telling me, don't go back there. It's too scary. You don't want to do that. Like, don't do it. But God is like, I'm already here. I'm in that place already. So like, come follow me and trust that like you are protected and that I've got you and you don't have to fear evil. So I want you to walk through this valley of the shadow, which the shadow of death thing was the coolest thing for me because it's literally like, it's not necessarily a truth. It's just like a perception.
Yes, it's
there
so
there is this shadow that's like darkness looming over it. But God is like, it's just a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Walk there. I'm already there. Mm-hmm. Follow me. And you don't have to fear any evil when you do it.
And it's like the, I love that. And it's like,
I know.
I think it's John 1:9. And he's like, I'm with you wherever you go.
Yes.
So when you
he's
just said that.
All around us.
So he's going with you through that shadow.
And
so
he's
I
like
love
preparing
that.
The way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I
you're
know,
never
right?
alone.
I don't. And the crazy thing is, like, I don't always speak scripture like this, but
me either.
I'm finding myself doing it so much more lately. And it's just like, whether it's scripture or a quote or like positive affirmations, that kind of stuff, it's just like, whatever that truth is over your life, like, speak it over your life until you believe it. Because that is going to help you, which again, Paul was talking about. It's like, what did he call it? It's like not retraining your mind, but it's like,
ooh, I like that though.
Like recreating or something like that.
I can't,
He called it something really cool and I've been saying it a lot, but now I forget it, of course. But basically it's like retraining your mind to think a different way.
So, you know, like the cliche, like fake it till you make it.
Yes.
So it's like when you just talked like about like recreating your mind and stuff like that. So like when I think about it, cause I used to always tell myself like fake it till you make it. But I'm like, why do you have to fake it when you can use like, cause I used to never quote scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't even know any scripture until like a year ago or anything like that. And so I started feeling like I used to say fake it till you make it. And now I'm like, why fake it when I can like use things like what you're talking about, like scripture and recreating my mind to make it.
Yes.
So instead of faking it, like it's becoming it these now. Things. Yeah. And then I'm actually doing it.
Yes.
And then like, it's less exhausting. You feel better. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I used to judge people. I know we're kind of going off topic, but whatever. This is a podcast. Love it. So you can do it.
Tangents.
So I used to like whenever people would just speak like tons of scripture, I'd be like,
oh, you get kind of turned off.
I'm like, you're so overly spiritual. You're so... But now, like, now I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even because it's coming from the Bible. It's just, like, it is a truth over your life that you should be speaking over your life because it's way more positive than the – way more positive and way more real and way more truthful than the crap that we are conditioned to think since day one from the world. Like, so you should want to speak that over your life. And now I get why people do it.
I love that.
I know.
I feel like I'm looking at myself right now.
Again – I feel like I'm looking and talking to myself through you, so.
I love this.
It's the wildest thing. So, who would you say, Gabrielle Rademacher, there we go, I got it right this time. Who would you say she is, like, now in this journey that you've really unlocked your freedom?
I think I'm, like, real, if that makes sense. Like, I'm a real person.
Yeah.
And I'm authentic. I love that word that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm less, like, tired and exhausted. Because from hiding yourself from so much and, like, I don't feel paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Now I can go out and go on a podcast and talk to you.
Crazy.
Crazy. People still think, like, no one would have ever thought I would ever do
and
something
And you're
like
I'm a bad public speaker. Okay, well, this is public speaking, sort of.
Still a little
And you're doing fine.
It'll end soon.
You're doing actually great. Thank not you. Just fine. So.
And I have relationships. So I was just telling you, I'm in my first ever really serious relationship.
Cool.
Yeah. We just moved in together.
Yeah.
And I never had that. I have a best friend now.
Yeah.
I love myself. I have such a great relationship with God. And every day it gets stronger.
Yeah.
And I'm happy.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed of who I am. Yeah. And I'm not embarrassed. Now people know who my family is. They know where I live. And
so cool.
Yes. And and I get to help other people too.
Yeah.
So that's who Gabrielle Rademacher is, I guess.
So cool. Okay. And so you feel like you, like, really probably have compassion for yourself and for other people now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now you can, like, relate, too. And they can relate with you.
Yeah.
And when they see someone else unlocking their freedom and owning their truth and seeing that people go through this stuff, then, you know.
It's hope.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you feel better, too, because you're like – and then you hear other people and you're like, wow, like – I mean, talking to you right now, like, I'm like, wow, like, we've –
we're literally the same person.
And I'm like, I haven't been alone this whole time. Yes. And you know, but I would have never figured that out if we would have never opened up.
Right. So. If you weren't telling your story to those two people, you would never be telling it here. And I think that is one of the biggest things that I'm friends with, like, YouTubers and stuff. And they always say how, like, there are certain things that you need to keep for just your loved ones and certain things that, like, online you can share. But there's you don't want to share everything online because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, those people don't necessarily know you. And it's like, if you can tell those 10 most important people in your life, whoever that is, that's, like, where you need to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can worry about sharing yourself online afterwards. Yes. But you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, you definitely don't have to. As long as you can tell the people that are in your circle in life, that is really powerful.
I couldn't agree more. That's awesome.
I know, right?
I like that.
Well, because I always wanted to tell my story first on here. Like, not on a podcast, but, like, publicly. Because I was like, oh, I would love to prop myself up because I'm insecure. But then it took a lot longer than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad because I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Now. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
So great.
And like you said, there's still not everything, like, you want to share to everyone. Because it
I'm
is
not
so sacred.
Share all the details.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially, like, because you don't know who's watching. And like you said, people don't understand you and they could take it the wrong way or have this opinion because we all have those.
Yes.
And so the
and
people
they just
that
don't
trust
need
you. I really don't. That's way too.
There's certain personal things where I'm like, you don't need to know this about my life.
And I probably don't need to know that about other people's life.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it all works.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to acknowledge you because, like, well, first of all, you said you never even check your Instagram messages, and somehow you check mine, so that was pretty exciting.
Oh my
gosh. I just want to acknowledge you for coming on today, because I know you said you've never really done anything like this before, and that's freaking cool that this is the first time. But also, like, that you are still in the journey of mm-hmm. all this. Like, you are able to be free in a lot of ways, but you are still like processing things mm-hmm. and you're still dealing with certain things and you're still able to talk about it. And yeah. I just think that's the power of telling your story. Is it's like, it's not easy and it doesn't necessarily make your life like a ton easier, but like it does chip away at the shame and it chips away at like the pain that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so I just want to acknowledge you for really Thank telling you. Your story. While you're in the process of it. That's the whole point of this. Do it in the process.
Yeah. I feel like we're always in the process.
Yes, we are. Life is a process.
But thank you for having me on this. Of course. I feel honored being on here and for you even reaching out to me.
Dude, so. Yes. I'm so excited. And the fact that we're literally the same yeah. person. And I think I found new friends.
Yes.
So.
I love when that
Right? happens. It's crazy. You like? Would you want someone to go follow you on social? Yeah, you totally don't have to say that.
It was just during my fast. So I was doing like the prayer and fast. And then I took away.
Good for you.
Social media, and I kind of do it a lot, so that's where I get in trouble. It's because I really don't use my phone, and a lot of people get mad at me for it. So I'm trying to do better. I'm like, I'm
Dude,
growing.
Literally, all my friends are terrible at texting, so I've become a
okay.
Terrible
so
texter.
We can be great friends then. So this works.
I just embrace it. That's why I like everyone sucks at texting, so it's fine.
So, but yes, all I have is Instagram.
Okay,
it's only social media, and it's just Gabrielle Rademacher.
Cool. So just like at Gabrielle Rademacher.
Pretty easy.
Cool. Easy yeah. enough. We'll link it.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you so much for watching/listening to our conversation today. And if you want more life-giving conversations like what you heard today, click that big red subscribe button and join the Freedom Family with us. So you can DM me on Twitter or Instagram. Follow me. Feel free. You will find the most weird, wild content, but also some hopefully inspiring content as well. So yeah, appreciate you for tuning in today, and we can't wait to see you next time. Bye.